But this passage of scripture is going to sound like we're picking up in the middle of a conversation, so I wanted to just let you know what that conversation was about. And this actually started last week, but the author of Hebrews is attempting to validate, I guess, his understanding that Jesus is our high priest. And so we looked at that last week, and this week he's continuing in that vein. And the scripture begins with the words, the word this, and it's a reference to Jesus being appointed as high priest. So you'll kind of know where we're picking up there. But let's hear the word of the Lord this morning from chapter 7, verses 20 through 28. This was confirmed with an oath, for others who became priests took their office without an oath. But this one became a priest with an oath because of the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Accordingly, Jesus has also become the guarantee of a better covenant. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who's been made perfect forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you rather listen to an hour-long sermon in this sanctuary or a 20-minute sermon in the old church in August in the middle of the day? Would you rather present the children's sermon for an entire month of Sundays or be one of the contestants on stage for the newlywed game during the Valentine's Day banquet? Would you rather receive a lifetime appointment to the consistory or be caught by Bonnie turning one of those little dials on the soundboard? Would you rather? The name of a party game, a conversation starter, that involves asking a question that begins with that statement, "Would you rather?" which is then followed by two equally negative or positive options. And the idea when asking the question is to present an individual with a dilemma and force them to choose. And if you're playing the game according to the rules, answering neither or both is not an acceptable response. And those three questions I asked you are from my version of the Brick Church edition. But this is one more of my favorites. Would you rather eat Brick Church barbecue off the bathroom floor or a Brick Church chicken pie without gravy? It's a tough decision. They really all are. But none of them are as tough as the decision that the audience of Hebrews was faced with. Would you rather have Jesus serve as your high priest or a human being? Now, as we've gone through Hebrews these past few weeks, we've learned how important the high priest was, the role that the high priest played in the Jewish religion. The high priest essentially functioned as the bridge between the people of God and God. It was really the pathway to salvation. And so this is a really important question. Who do you want your high priest to be? Only it doesn't sound like a dilemma to us, I don't think. But they were struggling. It was the toughest question that they had ever had to answer. You know, last week when we looked in chapter 5, we saw the author of Hebrews attempting to convince his congregation that Jesus was indeed qualified to serve as high priest. And he talks about certain qualifications and how Jesus met those. The first was that you had to be called and chosen by God. And so he talks about how Jesus was called and appointed by God. And even though Jesus was not from the house of Levi, which was the traditional house from which the high priest would be chosen, he said that instead Jesus was from the order of Melchizedek, which, you know, we talked about Melchizedek, this mysterious figure, and a person who, though not an Israelite, was referred to in the scripture as a priest of the Most High God. And we'll talk perhaps more about him in weeks to come. But this other qualification that the high priest had to meet is he had to be one of the people. And so that he could sympathize with their weaknesses and so that he could be compassionate as he dealt with them. And so the author of Hebrews proves how Jesus was indeed one of the people, and by pointing to his suffering, that Jesus also had to suffer as we do to learn some of the things that God wants to teach us. But now in chapter 7, the author is attempting to convince them that not only was Jesus qualified to serve as the high priest, but that he was superior to all the other high priests that they were familiar with. And so the first point he made was that unlike all the high priests in Israel's past and in their present, Jesus' role as high priest was attested to or sworn by God himself, which meant that God had guaranteed Jesus' effectiveness to serve in this capacity, to do the things that a priest needed to do, to obtain forgiveness for the sins of the people, and to be that mediator between God and man. None of the priests in Israel's past or present had done this perfectly, but Jesus could, because he was attested to by God for this position. Now, it's really a poor comparison, but it made me think of the difference between buying a used car from an individual or from a dealership. If you buy a used car from a dealership, it usually comes with some kind of a guarantee, some kind of a certification that if anything majorly wrong happened to this vehicle, that you'd be protected. And so it gives you that protection. It gives you that peace of mind. And so I can imagine the author of Hebrews writing this to the people today would maybe put it this way: would you rather get your high priest off Craigslist or straight from God? Now, it seems like the answer would be obvious to us, but to them it wasn't. The second point that he made to prove Jesus' superiority over the human high priest had to do with this idea of Jesus' permanence versus their transient nature or their temporary nature. Because Jesus lives forever, he said that he's able to serve as high priest without interruption. That there's never any delay or any moment when the people don't have access to God because Jesus lives forever. And that work of intercession that he's doing on their behalf, it continues. It happens indefinitely, so that there's never a moment when forgiveness cannot be offered or when grace and mercy cannot be extended. Now, again, it's kind of a poor comparison, but when I think about Jesus and his ability to serve without interruption, I thought about certain services that we've come to depend on and how we feel when they are interrupted. Whether it's our power, we lose it, or our internet, or there's some kind of interference in our television signal, we get extremely frustrated, and these things are nowhere near as important as our relationship with God. Just imagine with me for a moment that Jesus represents AT&T cell service here at the church, and a human being represents Verizon. Which one would you want to carry your message to heaven? So I can just imagine the author of Hebrews asking his congregation, would you rather your high priest be a human who gets sick, who goes on vacation, who dies, or the eternal Son of the living God? Now, the answer seems obvious to us, but for them it was a dilemma. Well, after making these points, the author of Hebrews throws in a few more details to try to convince them of Jesus' superiority. He talked about how Jesus was holy and blameless and undefiled. and which not only explained how Jesus' sacrifice could bring about their salvation, but described how Jesus, unlike every other high priest, didn't have to worry about seeking forgiveness for his own sins, but could focus entirely on the needs of the people. Would you rather have a high priest who is just as in need of forgiveness as you are, or one who could focus entirely on your need for forgiveness? He talked about Jesus' separation and exaltation above the heavens to sit at the right hand of God the Father. You know, according to the belief system at that time, the heavens represented this barrier between the realm of human beings on earth and the realm of God above the heavens. And so what he's saying is that Jesus has this nearness to God. He's passed through the heavens and is there right next to God the Father. And you can contrast this with all the human high priests who were only able to get as close to God as the inner sanctuary of the temple. Would you rather have a high priest who has to shout across the heavens to reach the throne of God, or one who can whisper directly in his ear? And finally, he described Jesus as perfect, a word that he's not using here to mean morally blameless, but which Jesus was, but rather the idea of completion or finality. And so what he's saying about Jesus is that unlike every other high priest who had to continually offer sacrifices day after day after day, Jesus only had to do it once, to make one sacrifice of himself, and that was enough. Would you rather have a high priest who can manage the symptoms of your disease, or one who can provide the cure? None of these are really tough decisions, I don't think, for us. But the first people to hear this sermon, they seemed to think so. You know, they were considering throwing aside their faith in Jesus. You know, going back to that old system, replacing Jesus, their high priest, with a human being. And while that might not make any sense to us, having studied Hebrews now for a few weeks, I think we can guess at the reason why. It's because Jesus wasn't with them. You know, Jesus had gone to be with the Father. He'd promised to return, but it was anybody's guess as to when that might be. You know, time was marching on. Life was hard. It was getting harder by the minute. They heard the arguments from this author of Hebrews, but where was the proof, you know, that Jesus was better? When was their life going to reflect the difference that Jesus had claimed to have made? And this is where faith enters the equation. Apart from faith, it's sometimes hard to see that Jesus is the better option. Apart from faith, it's tempting to choose another that, though imperfect, is at least visible, at least tangible. Clearly, some members of this congregation and many other followers of Jesus, they held on to their faith. You know, if they hadn't held on to their faith, none of us would be here this morning. But it hasn't been easy. And the history of Christianity is full of examples of times when followers of Jesus have lost their faith and they've replaced him with a mere human being. And they've suffered as a result of this inferiority. Now, given that we're only a few days away from Reformation Day, you know, the most obvious example we could point to is the system that was created the need for the Protestant Reformation. You know, at the time that the Reformation occurred in the early 16th century, the Roman Catholic Church promoted the idea that people could not go directly to God through Jesus, but instead had to go through this hierarchy of religious leaders, you know, beginning with their local priests and all the way up through the Pope himself. And so the average person in the pew believed that God's forgiveness, that God's salvation could only be received through these individuals. So this inferior system gave these human leaders too much authority and power, which in turn led to all these different kinds of corruption. And several brave men and women, they read the scriptures and they saw all that was wrong with this way of thinking, and they brought these concerns or these protests to the church. They were rejected, they were excommunicated, and the Protestant church was born. And Christians everywhere were reminded that it's only Jesus to whom we must give an account, that it's only through Jesus that we will experience salvation. And as we've been reminded throughout the book of Hebrews, his throne is a throne of grace, a throne of mercy. Now today in the church, you know, pastors and priests and the Pope, they all serve important roles as spiritual leaders. But only in as much as they understand that their job is to point people to Jesus. The job of every spiritual leader is to do that, not to point people to themselves, but to point people beyond themselves to the God that they serve. If they're not doing that, they're failing in their vocation. Now, there are some churches that are built entirely upon the personality of their pastor. They have almost a celebrity status, and when the pastor leaves, the entire church just dissolves. If I was that pastor, I would question whether or not I've been doing my job faithfully. But I've never had to worry about it because I don't have much of a personality. But it's a blessing. It really is. But all of this leads me to something that I want you to think about this morning, something I want you to leave here with, and that's this. Do you ever lose faith and think about going back to some other way, to some other Savior? You know, I think we all do from time to time. Are you ever tempted to put your hope in someone else or something else to save you? I think we all are at times. But the author of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is better. We need faith to see that, though. That's the catch in all of this. In times of testing, we need to pray that God would increase our faith. But then there are things we can do to strengthen our faith. And to go back to that very first sermon we looked at in the book of Hebrews, we need to put ourselves in a position as often as we can to hear God speak. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we give you thanks for your word to us this morning. And we confess to you that there are times in our lives when our faith begins to weaken. When we're tempted to doubt this truth that the author of Hebrews is trying to get across to us, that we begin to wonder if Jesus really is better. We begin to chase after other high priests, human beings, the mere mortals, that though they're not as perfect as the scriptures claim Jesus is, at least we can see them, at least we can touch them, at least they are there. Remind us, Lord, that with faith, we can see our perfect high priest, the one who has passed through the heavens, has been exalted to sit at the right hand of the Father. Remind us with the eyes of faith that Jesus truly is better. Help us to follow him, to serve him, and to depend upon his work to save us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.